Chapter 62. Dolent. Dolent. D-O-L-E-N-T. Sad. Sorrowful. Painful. Causing suffering and pain. Middle English. From Middle French. From Latin. Dolent. Dolens. Present participle of dolere. To feel pain. Grieve. Konoha is beautiful in the morning, Hiruzen thinks with a faint smile, watching the lights spread across the village as the sun rises. He's seen too many mornings from here, more than he ever should have, but it's still one of his favorite sights. The Sarutobi clan was one of the first to join Konoha after its founding. Hiruzen himself was one of the first children born within the village's walls, and he's watched it rise from a handful of streets and houses to become what it is now, a thriving village full of souls. He loves it, and he would give his life for it in a heartbeat. That doesn't mean, however, that he's the right person to control its fate. Behind him, the door clicks open, and someone takes 3 steps into the office and then stops. Sensei, Tsunade says, even in the way that means she's being pointed about not yelling. Hiruzen smiles, almost despite himself, because that's a painfully familiar tone. I hope you didn't call me in here to tell me you're dying. If you're feeling dramatic, save it for Jiraiya.
Maybe just a little dramatic, Hiruzen admits,
turning away from the window to give his former student a smile.
Jiraiya is brooding and avoiding Kushina, though. I wouldn't want to disturb him.
Tsunade snorts, but there's an amused curl to her mouth as she crosses the space between them, throwing herself down in one of the chairs across from him. Her eyes flicker over Rasa's desk in one corner, A's in the other, and she shakes her head.
So you're disturbing me instead? Much appreciated.
Hiruzen smiles tiredly, pulling out his chair and sinking down slowly.
Kotetsu said you were with Orochimaru. How is he?
Tsunade's expression does something complicated, like she doesn't know whether to laugh or rail or cry, and she sighs, rubbing her hands over her face.
Complaining about his hair, she says wryly, since I had to cut the rest of it short. But health-wise, he's all right. The lack of chakra isn't hurting him just yet, and he's healing normally.
A hesitation, and she looks down at her entwined fingers for a long moment before meeting Hiruzen's eyes again.
What are you going to do with him?
The heart of the matter, Hiruzen thinks, a little wistfully. Tsunade's always been so good at cutting through the fog and getting right at things. Honestly, for all of Don's charm and charisma, Hiruzen would far rather have given Tsunade his seat. Then he lost 2 potential successors in a handful of years, under circumstances that were perfectly explainable but nevertheless ever so faintly suspicious, and was suddenly very, very glad that he'd never put Tsunade's name forward as a candidate. He'd lost her regardless, after Don's death, but at least it wasn't permanently.
That, he says precisely, will very shortly no longer be my decision to make.
Confusion crosses Tsunade's face, bleeds into outright alarm as she jerks back, rising to her feet and taking 3 steps away.
No, she snaps. No, if you called me here to tell me I have to take that damned hat.
I called you here, Hiruzen interrupts gently,
to explain to you why I'm not going to give you the hat. There's a heartbeat of perfect silence. Tsunade stares at him, brown eyes wide, and then laughs. She presses a hand over her face, sinking back down into her chair, and leans forward to brace her elbows on her knees. Oh, thank hell. God, Sensei, why would you feel the need to explain that? Shouldn't it be obvious? Hiruzen smiles sadly at her bowed shoulders. Because if I were to die, you are listed as my first choice for a replacement, he says. The daimyo knows and has already agreed. But dramatics aside, I am not dying, and there are other choices available. Once I would have handed you my position without a second thought. But I think right now you aren't ready.
Ready?
Tsunade demands, and it cracks in the middle. I'm never going to be ready. That's Don's dream, Nawaki's dream, not mine. If I hadn't made that damn bet with Kurama, I'd still be running. She takes a breath, looks up, and the expression on her face could wound Hiruzen at 100 paces. Half the time, I wish I still was. Hiruzen feels old. Old and tired and frail somewhere deep inside of him, watching what should have been the brightest star of the next generation fold in on herself, wrapping her arms around her body. It's been years, but he understands that some blows crack things that can never quite be mended. Whether it is fortunate or not, Hiruzen couldn't say, but he's suffered such a blow. Biwako's loss, Asuma's departure, his son-in-law's death. None of them hurt him so deeply that he couldn't go on. The village has always come first, because the whole matters far more than one old man. The village is kinder with you in it, he tells Tsunade, blatant truth. When she looks up at him, features drawn, he musters a smile, and it takes more effort than it should. Truly, Tsunade, I've missed you. Everyone has. Your heart is as strong as your grandfather's, and Konoha needs it just as dearly. Not as Hokage, Tsunade tells him, and it's partway to a plea. She casts a glance at the hat sitting on the edge of the desk, and her mouth pulls tight. Shaking her head, she holds Hiruzen's gaze and says, with a shadow of sharpness, If you want me to work for the village, I'll manage. Whatever it is, I think I can stand to stay here, looking at what Nawaki and Don died for. But it will hurt every day until I die. A breath shakes her, and she presses her hands over her face. I want to get better, Sensei, she says, and it breaks. I don't want to hate Konoha for what it took from me. I want to be able to love the village the way they did, without reservations, but I can't yet. So please. Ignoring his bones' protests, Hiruzen comes around the desk to kneel beside her chair, taking one of her hands in his own. I would like that too, he says, and doesn't think he's ever meant something more. I miss your smile, Tsunade. I've missed you. And I realize what I'm asking is hard, but I only ask because I know you can. Stay in the village, head the hospital, see how Konoha can become better. Tsunade laughs a little, squeezing his fingers, and there are tears on her cheeks, but her heart and will have always been what made her so incredible. You're an incurable optimist, old man, she accuses. But it's at least a little fond. Hiruzen smiles at her, pushing painfully to his feet. I simply have faith that the younger generations will be better than I have ever managed to be, he tells her. And it's sad but honest. Hiruzen himself has made so many choices, turned his eyes from so many things he shouldn't have. With age comes wisdom, but never soon enough, unfortunately. If he had this life to do over. But he doesn't. And a knock at the door reminds him of that more sharply than usual. Come in, he calls, waving Tsunade back to her seat when she starts to rise, and aims a welcoming smile at his visitor. Kushina, my dear. Picking up Kurama's habits now, are we? The red-haired girl, clinging to the leg of Kushina's jonin uniform, harrumphs like an old woman, pushing her glasses up her nose. She gives Kushina a meaningful look, and Kushina grins back, full of teeth and the terror of an Uzumaki on a mission. I kind of like this one, you know, she says cheerfully, tossing herself into the remaining chair and letting the girl scale her leg to sit on the arm. A glance at Tsunade, careful and calculating, and she asks, Is she here to fix your face when I'm done breaking it? Tsunade rolls her eyes, and Hiruzen can't fight a wry smile, even though he knows she's entirely serious. It's certainly deserved, given the way Naruto grew up. Instead of answering, though, he meets the girl's stare and says gravely, I don't believe we've met. My name is Sarutobi Hiruzen. May I ask yours?
Uzumaki Karin, she says instantly.
And he likely should have guessed, given the hair and the chakra he can feel.
I'm going to be a Fuinju master like Kushina.
Kushina beams proudly, and Hiruzen's first instinct is to grimace because he lived through Tsunade, Jiraiya, Minato, and Kushina all teaching themselves sealing, and that was more than enough. Except, very shortly, it won't be his problem any longer. And the relief of that thought is so great he almost feels lightheaded. An impressive and worthy goal, he agrees. Karin gives him a suspicious look, like she can't tell if he's patronizing her, but lets it go with a determined nod.
We were training,
Kushina says, flipping a kunai from hand to hand. It's less of an explanation for the girl's presence and more of a dare for him to protest it.
You wanted to see me, Hokage-sama?
I did indeed. Taking a seat again, Hiruzen steals himself, then meets deep violet eyes the same color as Mito's. 7 years ago, I had three choices when I was looking for a successor. Minato was the one I picked, because Orochimaru was unstable and you were a Jinchuriki, and considering taking leave to start a family. Kushina's eyes go wide, and the kunai slips, tumbling through the air to slam into the floor. She jerks around to look at Tsunade, but the older woman scoffs and raises her hands.
Don't even joke about that, she says firmly. He already conned me into being the head of the hospital. That's more than enough for me. If you want the position, I'll support you.
Not unexpected, but also not an easy offer to brush off, seeing as Tsunade is the last direct descendant of Konoha's founder. The expression on Kushina's face says she knows that, and her eyes flicker from Tsunade to Hiruzen, and then to the portrait of her husband on the wall. Whatever she sees in his painted smile, it must be enough, because Hiruzen watches the joy and glee and wonder flood her expression. She bolts to her feet, all but vibrating with contained enthusiasm. To brace her hands on the edge of the desk, hair spilling around her like a tide of fire, and cries,
Me? You want to nominate me for Hokage?
Hiruzen chuckles, holding her wide-eyed stare, and says, I would like nothing better, my dear. Kushina laughs, twisting around and grabbing Karin's hands. She pulls the girl into a tight hug, bouncing on her toes, and then whirls back to face Hiruzen. Just like that, she demands, you're just making me a candidate? Well, perhaps it's a little more complicated, Hiruzen allows. Given the circumstances, you'll need to submit yourself to a full evaluation by Inoichi, and Jiraiya will need to find out details of the technique used to bring you back, but it shouldn't be too difficult. He meets her eyes, smile going faintly weary. I retired for a reason, Kushina. My judgment is not what it once was, and there are many mistakes that I no longer trust myself to correct. This situation has made that especially clear. Kushina just looks at him for a long moment, expression softer than it might otherwise be, and smiles just a little. I've always wanted peace, she says.
I've wanted it more than anything, but I'll fight if I have to. You know that, right?
Hiruzen smiles back at her.
Of course. It is one of the many reasons you are my first choice. I believe the village will do well in your care.
The daimyo was skeptical when Hiruzen first proposed Kushina as successor. A shinobi not born in Konoha, a former human container resurrected by their enemies, a mother with a small child. Every doubt he brought up was reasonable, but none of them apply in the face of who Kushina truly is. Minato was not the only hero of the Third Shinobi War, and he wasn't the only one who dreamed of a better future for the village as a whole. If it's required, Hiruzen has no doubts that Kushina will die to defend Konoha, but he's also entirely certain that she'll do everything in her power to find another way. There's a logic problem in the academy that's presented to students in their last year. You're drinking with someone who might be an enemy, and they serve you tea that could be poisoned. What is the correct response? Hiruzen reads the answers every year because they never fail to amuse him. Most say one should cause a distraction and switch the cups. Minato's response was that he would take an antidote beforehand, just in case. Kushina said she'd knock both cups off the table to even the field and apologize afterwards, because an offense was correctable, but death wasn't. Hiruzen remembers sitting back in his chair when he read it, thinking of Mito, thinking of how, for the first time, he could see the similarities between Mito and Kushina in more than their hair and their status as Jinchuriki. He still sees it, here and now, and he thinks that Mito would be overjoyed at seeing her niece become Hokage.
Thank you, Hokage-sama, Kushina tells him, the joy fierce in her eyes. Thank you!
No, my dear, Hiruzen says with absolute certainty, laying his hand over hers. Thank you.
Daddy! Door!
Inoichi curses, almost dropping the onigiri for Ino's bento as her shout echoes from the top of the stairs.
Finish getting dressed, he calls back, rinsing his hands quickly. Do you need help?
I got it!
Ino ducks back into her room, and Inoichi hurries to get the door. It's likely Meibuki, coming to pick Ino up. Except, since Ino is the one who had to wake him up this morning, neither of them is ready yet. He hates making the woman wait, but they're running behind this morning, since he had an interrogation yesterday that lasted well into the early hours. Tripping over the sandals he had simply kicked off in a haze of exhaustion, he staggers, catches himself on the doorframe, and drags it open with a harried smile.
Meibuki, forgive me, I'm still... Oh,
not Meibuki.
Definitely not Meibuki. Nice apron,
Shikaku drawls, looking him over from the top of his crooked ponytail to the tips of his mismatched house slippers. Inoichi rolls his eyes, though he makes no move to take the offending pink apron off. Shikaku has seen him in far worse states. Stepping aside, he beckons his friend in.
There are days I regret deciding that I wanted an heir without the complications of a wife, he says wryly. This is likely one of them.
Shikaku snorts, following him back to the kitchen and leaning against the doorframe as Ino leaps down the stairs. She waves, calling,
"Morning!"
And when he smiles back at her, she bounces over to peer at Inoichi's handiwork.
"Daddy, you made pandas! Those are really cute!"
"I'm glad you like them."
Inoichi closes the bento box and wraps it in cloth, then passes it to her. "You have your books? Any tests today?" Ino takes it with exaggerated care, balancing it in one hand and her book bag in the other.
"I don't think so. Iruka-sensei didn't say anything yesterday."
Another knock sounds and she brightens.
"Sakura's here! Bye, Daddy!"
Inoichi presses a kiss to her forehead, bends enough to let her kiss his cheek in return.
"Have a good day, Ino. Love you."
"Love you, too!" Ino gives him a bright smile, then heads for the door at a run. Inoichi can hear it swing open, then Ino's happy greeting and Sakura's reply, Mabuki's more even tones, and the thud as it falls shut. It's always strange just how quickly the house starts to feel empty without Ino's presence. Inoichi sighs, slumping against the counter and reaching up to pull his hair into a more secure tail, now that he has a spare moment. I'm sorry, Shikaku. Is something wrong? Shikaku waves it off. I wouldn't have disturbed your morning for no reason, he says, smirking faintly. I know how you get. When Inoichi makes a face at him, he snorts and adds, Shibi is waiting outside. And you didn't invite him in? Inoichi asks, exasperated. Shikaku, we're not staying, Shikaku interrupts. And he's under a henge. This is definitely not a social visit, then. Though Inoichi likely should have expected that much, what with Shikaku voluntarily getting out of bed before noon. He studies his friend for a moment, then pulls the apron off. I take it we're going to leave the same way? If you don't mind. Shikaku watches as he pulls on his flak jacket and grabs his weapons pouch. I got a message from Shiranui this morning. He requested meeting with the major clan heads at his apartment as secret as we could make it. That's rather alarming, Inoichi thinks, and can tell by the slant of Shikaku's mouth that he feels the same way. All of us? He asks, a little disbelieving, though it doesn't stop him from pulling his sandals on. Shikaku just offers a shrug. That's what the message said. Choza says Genma's not one to overreact, so I'm inclined to think it's not a stunt. Since Choza was the man's jonin instructor, Inoichi is willing to trust his assessment. It's not usual for all the clan heads to gather, except before the Hokage, though, and that makes this especially odd. My bedroom window is open, he tells Shikaku, who nods and heads up the stairs. A moment of concentration and Inoichi forms a shadow clone, then henges himself into one of the stray cats Ino has taken to feeding. The clone opens the front door, making a show of shooing the cat out, and then closes it again firmly once Inoichi is outside. He doesn't bother waiting for Shibi or Shikaku, but slips into the shadows as he heads for the south end of the village. Thankfully, Genma's apartment building is set well back from any main streets, in one of the areas where the vegetation is thickest. It's no trouble at all to slip inside and make his way up. As an Anbu assassin, Genma's a regular for evaluations and assessments, so Inoichi has seen his file enough times to remember his apartment number well. He sheds the henge, since the hallway is empty, and knocks lightly on the door. There's a brief pause before it opens, and Genma gives him a friendly smile. Morning, sir. Thanks for coming. With all the mystery, how could I resist? Inoichi says dryly, and holds the door open behind him for a beat longer. Shibi is the first in, Shikaku a beat slower, as he checks the hallway before stepping past Inoichi with a nod of thanks. Genma waits until the door is shut and locked again before he glances at Shibi. I found something I need you to take a look at before everyone else gets here, he says lightly. Just don't do anything reckless, okay? That gets him a faintly incredulous lift of Shibi's brows over his dark glasses, but the Aburame clan head simply nods. For a moment, Genma just looks at him, then takes a breath and tips his head towards the living room. In there, I'll give you a second. Shibi pauses, studying the Tokujo, but curiosity wins out over caution. He heads for the other room with quick steps, rounding the corner, and a sound, like a half-muffled cry, has Inoichi moving before he can even think about it. He rounds the corner at a run, Shikaku right behind him, and practically falls over Shibi where the man is crouched on the floor, arms tight around an Aburame boy a little older than his son. Torune, Shibi gets out, and the name is half-strangled, rough with emotion Inoichi has never seen the other man show. Where have you been? I'm sorry, the boy says, though his voice is faintly unsteady as well. I thought he said, Root, Genma cuts in, watching the reunion with an unreadable expression, far different from the easygoing cheer Inoichi is used to seeing on him. He looks away, glances up to hold Inoichi's gaze, and asks quietly, The name Yamanaka Fu mean anything to you? Of course it does. The Yamanaka clan is large, but not that large, and Inoichi knows every member. It does, he says, and between the grip Shibi has on Terune, and the darkness in Genma's eyes, and Root. I take it, he says, and only his training as an interrogator keeps his tone even, his expression steady. That he did not just wander into the woods and disappear then? Genma's smile is crooked and dark. Not quite. Root can only mean Shimura Danzo. The foundation was that man's pride before Sarutobi had it disbanded. And Inoichi feels faintly sick at the thought. At least two children belonging to clans. Not simply small clans with a handful of members, but some of the founding clans of Konoha, its very bones. And logic says that where there are two, there can only be more as well. All too clearly, Inoichi can remember Orochimaru's banishment, 60 children dead, can remember the horror of those labs, the small bodies, the unanswered questions that lingered long after the Sannin fled. How had he gotten so many subjects? Where had they come from? How had he taken so many without being noticed? The pattern of disappearances in Konoha didn't change even after Orochimaru was gone. Children vanish, never in large enough numbers to cause a stir, but Inoichi has seen the reports, passed on by the military police. It happens frequently. He's always thought it one of the dangers of living in a hidden village, of being a shinobi. Children go missing. They try jutsus they aren't ready for, stumble over traps carelessly left in training grounds, venture into the forest of death without knowing it, and their bodies are never found. He's never looked at the reports too closely, even if he hugs Ino a little tighter each time one crosses his desk. But if Root is active, if Danzo is taking children, and they aren't simply vanishing? Fu was a cheerful, friendly boy. Inoichi knows his mother, better at undercover work than anyone he's ever met. He remembers how she fell apart when her son disappeared. They found no trace of him, though. No sign. And it was just another disappearance no one could solve. He takes a breath that shakes, leaning back against the wall and folding his arms tightly across his chest. How easily could it have been Ino, if even a boy so close to Shibi could be taken? You're not taking this directly to the Hokage? Shikaku asks, and he sounds unaffected, but his expression is lined, his eyes touched with a darkness that's fit to devour. Genma offers him a smile, rueful and just barely hiding a matching darkness. Danzo is one of Sarutobi-sama's best friends, he says lightly, as if he isn't practically accusing their Hokage of colluding on this. Thought it might be best to let some people who are a little less expendable than me in on the secret, just in case. He's an assassin, Inoichi thinks, cold right down to his bones. Assassins are killed on missions at easily twice the rate of other shinobi, especially Anbu assassins, and they're frequently called up on missions without warning or the knowledge of anyone but the Hokage. If any shinobi in the village could disappear easily, it would be Genma. It's solid reasoning, and Inoichi doesn't want to think it's necessary, but... The quiet sound Shikaku makes is one of approval, and his eyes flicker past Genma, down the darkened hallway. Inoichi turns to look as well, and spots two small figures hiding in the shadows, watching the assembled adults warily. They'd just been assigned a graduation test when I found them, Genma says, perfectly mild, as he follows the direction of their gazes and offers the two boys a smile. Danzo set them to kill each other, even though they'd been raised as brothers. Root shinobi aren't allowed to have emotions, and that's apparently how he forces the kids to suppress them. It could have been Ino so easily. She's the brightest in her academy class, already learning the clan techniques, a promising kunoichi with an excess of power and intelligence. Inoichi shudders before he can help himself.
"I will take this to the Hokage myself if I must," Shibi says, rising to his feet, though he keeps one hand on Torune's shoulder, as if scared to let go completely. There's a cold fury in his face, and Inoichi can feel an echo of it in himself.
Torune was a member of my immediate family. Even if Sarutobi-sama authorized Danzo's actions, he had no right. It's more than Inoichi has ever heard Shibi say at one time before. More emotion than he's seen him show. And all too understandable in the face of these revelations.
"I will as well," he agrees immediately, and looks at Genma. "You weren't able to get Fu out?"
"He was on a mission," Torune says, glancing up at his clan head. "Return estimated as tonight, if no delays."
"I was planning on grabbing Aoba and see if I couldn't get to him," Genma says, as if it's as simple as picking up milk. When Shukaku raises a brow at him, he smiles, ever so faintly wicked, and dips one shoulder up in a shrug.
"I could always take Uzumaki Kurama instead."
Inoichi has heard plenty about the man, and more than enough to make him truly consider the idea. Before he can say as much, though, Shukaku gives him a pointed look and says dryly, "I think I want enough left of the base to get some kind of proof. Take Yamashiro, maybe a sensor too."
"I'll go," Inoichi offers immediately, and when Genma blinks in surprise, gives the Tokujo a thin smile.
"You'll have command of the mission, given your familiarity with the situation, but Fu might react better to a familiar face, and I'm the strongest sensor in the village. I'm coming."
"Yes, sir," Genma agrees, though he doesn't look as though he minds in the least.
"Glad to have you."
There's a loud knock on the front door, and in the sudden, tense silence, Inoichi hears a loud hiss of,
"Are you trying to break the door, Inuzuka?"
"Oh, pull that stick out of your ass, Hiyashi," Dume snorts. "You were doing so well, too."
"Restraint." A man who is unmistakably Uchiha Fugaku huffs, "is not the same as..."
"She's fine," Hiyashi snaps. "Tsume is an excellent kunoichi, and she has no need to play into your preconceptions of..." "Preconceptions? That she not disturb the entire building?" Fugaku splutters. "Shiranui asked for stealth."
"And a fine job you're both doing of providing it," Tsume says dryly.
"And for the record, I defend my own honor, thanks, without sounding like a stuck-up bastard." Without moving any facial muscles at all, Shibi somehow conveys, rolling his eyes in long-suffering exasperation. Chuckling, Genma pushes upright.
"Let me get that," he says, over the squabbling.
Before he can take so much as a step, Hiyashi and Fugaku's voices rise dangerously, and Tsume makes a noise that perfectly echoes Shibi's non-expression.
"If you two don't shut up right now, I'm going to have Kuromaru sit on you," she yells.
"Tsume, don't you dare." A yelp, an offended cry, a scuffle, and then the double thump of two bodies slamming into the floor. Kuromaru lets out a satisfied woof, low and amused, and Tsume cackles.
"Who's the best dog ever?" she coos over Hiyashi and Fugaku's protests,
to the sound of the Nindog's tail happily slapping the floor.
"Oh, you are? Yes, you definitely are, my strong, handsome boy."
There's a pause, and then an awkwardly cleared throat.
"Did I miss something?"
Chosa asks politely, and despite the situation, Inoichi can't help but laugh. As colorful a collection of personalities as Konoha's clan heads may be, he has faith that they're all good people. And together, their clan members make up the vast majority of Konoha's shinobi. If they stand together, the Hokage won't have a choice but to let them at Danzo. And Inoichi is more than ready to get his pound of flesh.